All right, welcome to the Third Option Podcast. We are going to do a continuation of our podcast from last week, which is The Widows, Orphans, and the Foreigner. And we're going to be still in the Old Testament, but Nathan can share kind of where we're at and what we're
going
to talk about.
We're going to be going over the prophets, some samplings from the prophets, and then some from Psalms for this part. And then hopefully the next part will be over the ceremonial ritual and sort of, in a way, economic
so
laws.
So the real reason why we don't know about these verses is because these are the verses we don't read. It's like, the ceremonial laws, that's really exciting, guys. That's really what I want preached this Sunday, is about the ceremonial laws.
That's going to be good. So
that's going to be good stuff.
You should probably skip part three is what we're probably saying.
Bear with us, guys. This is good information. It might be a little slow, but just, you know, try to listen in. And it's always good. Just, you know, you're a long car ride. This is a good sermon to listen to.
Hopefully,
but
you're
hopefully you don't fall asleep.
Yep, definitely. Well, the prophets here should probably keep you awake, hopefully.
Yes. It actually gets really good, too. If you keep listening, like, this, right, this, you know, to be honest, we have a document in front of us with all these notes, and usually we have about 3 to 4 pages. I think we have like 45 pages, so.
It's a lot.
it's a lot of information, but it tells you how important this is.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge topic in the scriptures. The widow, the orphan, the foreigner. And you wouldn't think, like, before I really checked into this and stuff, I was doing this for a sermon, and the reason I even had an inkling of, like, what to do for the sermon was because I had kept seeing this. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, the first, you know, 10 times, you're like, okay, I guess this has kind of been there. And then when you start to dig and you're like, there's a mountain of conversation about these three groups of people. And they're always, like, together. That's what was so weird. Mm-hmm. Is they're always popping up together. And just the more you dig into it, the larger, you know, the find is. And it's just a huge topic. I mean, it should be talked about anyways. Even if it wasn't, like, in this political climate. It's, like, a huge piece to the scriptures. And it's just amazing that it isn't, you know, as much talked about as it should be. I mean, this is a pretty big deal. So we're going to start off with the prophets here, going into Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. And it reads, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house, and there proclaim this message." So he's going to the temple, it's the Lord's house there. And he's going to proclaim this message in front of everybody. And, you know, imagine if you had to go do that. Just go in front of church.
That's what I want to do.
Just start yelling out, "This is what, thus says the Lord. This is what he says." So
isn't that what Simon does on Facebook?
We love you, Simon.
That's right.
We love you. Okay, this is what he says. "Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says: reform your ways and your actions. I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.' If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder and commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, 'We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. And so if you're looking here as to what's kind of being said against Judah, and again, the northern tribe has been, they're gone. And so Judah's left. They had survived the Assyrian invasion because God had come down and destroyed the Assyrians. And so they have in this mentality after this that, well, God could never destroy Judah because, one, we're better than Israel, of course. And two, Yahweh's temple is here. His house is here. He would never, that's why they're saying, you know, this is the temple of the Lord. This is because they believe and they trust in the temple. They say, this is where God's house is. He would never destroy us, right? He's never going to let anything bad. The Assyrians, they tried to come get us. What did Yahweh do? He destroyed them. Mm-hmm. You know, God destroyed them. We're fine. And Jeremiah is saying, that's not the case. Just because you go to the temple, right, and you do these sacrifices stuff, there's a lot of other stuff they're doing wrong. Like, it kind of sounds good that, well, at least they're going to the temple. Well, they go to all kinds of places. But, yeah, they do go to the temple. But he's saying, if you would really change your ways, these are the things you would do. And those things are not oppress the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow, right? Those are in the list here of the different things. And you wouldn't think that those would be, you know, again, and those wouldn't be things that we would think about today as to, like, what's corruption? And it's like, well, the country's corrupt because they aren't taking care of the foster system and,
you know. Yeah, we would take the next points and talk about those. The shedding of innocent blood is why the country is corrupt.
Murder. Yeah.
Yeah, murdering somebody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or following other gods. We like to talk about that. You were following a false god, then that would be something we would say, oh, absolutely. Yeah, God would be angry with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do we ever talk about the of course, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow? No, not really. Yeah. It's, once again, it's something we've, it's almost like we've erased it from even these verses. If we go through this, it's something that's maybe a little bit read, but is it really talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that we think about in our prayer time and our devotions or with our groups? Is it something that, like, we hold true into our lives as, like, a point of, like, we feel like we've given justice to these people? No, it's barely talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that later part where they're talking about, like, you know, that we are safe. Again, they believe that nothing's going to happen to them, that they're okay. Because God would never let this place be destroyed. This is where the temple is.
Yep.
And if you notice in verse 11 there, Yahweh says, has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? And again, this is quoted by Jesus later. Yep. He goes into the temple and says, this place is a den of robbers. And Yahweh ends it there with, like, but I have been watching you, right? That I see what you're doing. And again, this place, he said, Yahweh's saying, this place bears my name, right? And you are not giving justice to the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow. This place is supposed to bear my name. And you're running it through the mud. You're a place of robbers because you're dealing unjustly. You're taking advantage of these people groups. And you're ruining, you know, my house. And, you know, we don't think that these three people groups has such an important emphasis, you know, in the scriptures. But it's all right there, you know.
Yeah.
So we're going to go on from there. To Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, the Lord told me, go down to the place of the king of Judah. Give him a message from me there. So he's now going to speak, you know, to the king of Judah. Say, listen, O king of Judah, who follows in David's succession. You, your officials, and your subjects who pass through the gates of this palace must listen to what the Lord says. The Lord says, do what is just and right. Deliver those who have been robbed from those who oppress them. Do not exploit or mistreat foreigners who live in your land, orphans, children who have no fathers, or widows. Do not kill innocent people in this land. If you are careful to obey these commands, then the kings who follow in David's succession and ride in chariots or on horses will continue to come through the gates of this palace, as will their officials and their subjects. But if you do not obey these commands, I solemnly swear that this place will become a pile of rubble. I, the Lord, affirm it. Again, what is the condition that Jeremiah is to tell the king? What are the conditions here? And the specifics laid out are what people groups?
It's the same.
It's the same ones. Yeah. And there's so little even said besides these people groups. The only other thing is do not kill innocent people in the land. But the bulk of this is what? Do not exploit and mistreat the foreigners who live in your land. And then again, the orphan and the widow. If you obey these, then he says, then kings will come in and out of this gate. There will be generations that come through here. But if you fail to do these things, you will all be destroyed. And it's interesting that that's the condition that God's given them. Do this, king, and you guys will not be destroyed.
Well, it's not like their city became a pile of rubble. Or
did it?
Or did it, yeah, I guess it did, yeah. Yes, it did.
And so, yeah, it's just shocking that's the condition there.
Yeah.
You know, being given, that's the terms. And, yeah, they couldn't fulfill it.
I mean, this there's so much arrogance in these people. I mean, the fact that prophets weren't heard. I mean, they were heard, but they weren't listened to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like anybody took them seriously.
Yeah.
If anything, they were treated very poorly, and they were treated as foolish.
Mm-hmm.
And these were the people speaking on behalf of God.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they were correct. They were correct every time. Yeah. And these things happen. We get to see it from a overhead perspective because we know yep. the history of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a sad reality when you read this because these people really thought they were doing the right thing. They attended. They went to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
They showed up, and to them that seemed like enough.
Yeah.
And sometimes do we have that perspective?
Mm-hmm.
We show up to church on Sundays. Is that enough? And we might be under the same boat where we continue to live our lives in sin and live it the way we've been taught our whole lives without any change.
Yeah.
However, are we doing the same thing? Are we mistreating the people? Are we forgetting about these people?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, well, of course, we're not actually killing the innocent people of the land. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think that's like always the easy out. It's like, well, I'm not murdering anybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a requirement of who we're going to take care of.
Yeah. That's, are you taking care of these people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we doing that? Well.
Mm-hmm. The next prophet we're going to go to is Ezekiel. And we'll read from chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. It reads, the word of the Lord came to me. As for you, son of man, are you willing to pronounce judgment? Are you willing to pronounce judgment on the bloody city? Then comfort her with all her abominable deeds. Then say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O city who spills blood within herself, which brings on her doom, and who makes herself idols, which results in impurity. You are guilty because of the blood you shed and defiled by the idols you made. You have hastened the day of your doom. The end of your years has come. Therefore, I will make you an object of scorn to the nations, an object to be mocked by all lands. Those both near and far from you will mock you, you with your bad reputation, full of turmoil. See how each of the princes of Israel living within you has used his authority to shed blood. They have treated father and mother with contempt within you. They have oppressed the foreigner among you. They have wronged the orphan and the widow within you. And again, talking about the rulers, how are they using their authority? How are they treating, again, these people groups? And once again, people groups put in there are the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. And this is going to result in the destruction, you know, of Israel, but then this is Judah as well. And, you know, you think of, as we go through these prophets, how many times it's said, over and over and over, over and over, as you need to be treating these people groups the right way, and they're not, right? They're constantly being mistreated, and your doom is
good. It seems like it's kind of natural to mistreat them. Like,
yeah.
It's natural for everybody to mistreat these groups.
Yeah.
Because I think it almost falls into our fleshly nature to not care about others.
Yeah.
Especially people we don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially people you don't know. That's 100% right. True.
Yep.
The easiest people group to mistreat is people you don't know.
Yep.
You know, 100%. And they are those groups, you know, they are the most cut off from society. You know, you're a widow, you're by yourself, generally elderly with us. And, you know, orphan, what, you know, that is a very cut off person,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? They have nothing, nobody. And then the foreigner is, again, cut off and distant. Just because he's not from the land, and he's a, you know, stranger there.
I mean, it's easy to be ignorant, especially towards orphans. If you've never seen their faces, mm-hmm. It's easy to forget they even ever exist.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not to, I mean, to bring in the, just a little bit of like, something like abortion, that's part of the problem, is we don't actually see the child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to dismiss a child in a mother's womb because that child has never existed. You've never interacted with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real problem with it.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, and I think that just comes down to, that's human nature,
mm-hmm.
is to dismiss these people, these groups.
Yeah. They have the least amount of power, least amount of ability, you know. And yeah, it's definitely easy to just dismiss them. We'll go to the next prophet is Zechariah, and we'll be in chapter 7 starting here. In King Darius's fourth year, on the fourth day of Kislev, the ninth month, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. Now the people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Rigamelech and their companions to seek the Lord's favor by asking both the priests of the temple of the Lord, who rules over all, and the prophets. Should we weep in the fifth month, fasting as we have done over the years? The word of the Lord, who rules over all, then came to me. Speak to all the people and priests of the land as follows. When you fasted and lamented in the fifth and the seventh months, through all these 70 years, did you truly fast for me? He's talking about the 70 years in exile. So this is now after that period. So he's asking them, did you truly fast for me? For me, indeed. And now, when you eat and drink, are you not doing so for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words that the Lord cried out through the former prophets when Jerusalem was peacefully inhabited, and her surrounding cities, the Negev and the Shephelah, were also populated? Again, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. The Lord who rules over all said, exercise true judgment and show brotherhood and compassion to each other. You must not oppress the widow, the foreigner, the orphan, or the poor, nor should anyone secretly plot evil against his fellow human being. But they refused to pay attention, turning away stubbornly and stopping their ears so they could not hear. Indeed, they made their heart as hard as diamond, so that they could not obey the Torah and the other words the Lord, who rules over all, had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, the Lord who rules over all has poured out great wrath. And so Zechariah is reminding the people now, right? They've come back from the exile, from time has passed now, from the destruction. Zechariah is reminding the people, remember what the former prophets had told us. We need to not make those mistakes again, right? Remember the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner. Do not oppress these people, right? Do not treat them poorly.
This is a lot like God saying earlier, remember, you once were the foreigner.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now it's remember the destruction that happened before.
Right.
Don't repeat it. So the next prophet we'll go to is Malachi chapter 3 here. And it reads, I am about to send my messenger who will clear the way before me. Indeed, the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant whom you long for is certainly coming, says the Lord who rules over all. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can keep standing when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will act like a refiner and purifier of silver and will cleanse the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then they will offer the Lord a proper offering. The offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in former times and years past. I will come to you in judgment. I will be quick to testify against those who practice divination, those who commit adultery, those who break promises, and those who exploit workers, widows, and orphans, who refuse to help the immigrant, and in this way show they do not fear me, says the Lord who rules over all. So, again, God's going to return, and he's going to bring this judgment. He's going to come back to the temple. Again, this is, you know, later prophecy. And he's going to go after those who practice witchcraft, adultery, who break promises, and exploit the workers, widows, and orphans, and all those who refused help to the immigrants. He's coming for judgment. And he says, when you do these things, it shows that you don't fear me when you don't do these things.
All right, Nathan. We get the point. We get the point. Let's just, maybe we should just stop there. I would say that's true. Like, in a way, it's like, man, how many verses do we have to hear on the same thing? It's said over and over again.
Yeah.
But the truth is, until we're actually practicing it, maybe we should keep saying these verses. Because it's amazing how it's the same, like, words being used over and over again. And it's in these lists of things to do or to not, like, make sure you're not doing against somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just continues over and over.
Yeah, it's interesting. People remember, like, the idols thing.
Yes.
But they don't remember this part. You know, and it's like, why is that? Why is it people remember the idols part, but this part, they don't. They don't remember. Like, nobody thinks, oh, yeah, Israel and them, they got destroyed. You know, all these bad things happen because of idols, because they didn't follow Yahweh's teaching of the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner.
It's because I don't follow idols.
Oh.
That's why. I mean, it's easy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like I'm following any idols. Yep.
Got that one.
Yeah, got that one. So let's talk about that one. Let's talk about idols, guys. I don't care about the foreigners.
Yeah.
I care about, like, not following idols.
Yeah.
And that, you know, foreigners aren't even one of the Ten Commandments. So why? Who cares?
That's true. I mean, yeah, I mean, technically you're supposed to love.
Love your neighbor. Yeah, that kind of covers all.
But anyways, so now we're going to kind of leave the prophets and just read some of the poetry in Psalms concerning this. And this is going to be a praise of who God is. So this is a little more upbeat, right?
Yay.
We've been hearing like sort of like condemning, like you guys are going to be destroyed, or make sure you guys are doing this. But this is going to be a praise of who God is. So this is going to be a little more upbeat. A little bit of change of pace here.
It's good.
But yeah, the reason, again, that we're kind of going through all this scripture is because I want everyone to see that we're not cherry picking things, right? I'm not like pulling something out, just like one verse and putting that. I'm showing you the context of like what's being said here and where the, you know, emphasis is happening. And I want people to go back, you know, and read those things and look at the passage. And it's, you know, as plain as day. You know, there's no trickery here into where we're getting this stuff. This is just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's just so much.
Well, it's also to help you make your own argument here.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're feeling like, man, this is something you need to change in the way you look at Scripture regarding these three people groups,
yeah,
you need to be able to make the argument yourself.
Yep.
So it's going to be really easy to find the Scripture because it's all over the place.
Yep, it's all over the place.
So that's part of the reason why we want to show, like, this isn't just a one-verse deal, and we're making a big deal about
it. Yeah, it's not just some weird nuance that happens, and it's like, well, he just cherry-picked something or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to lay out the evidence that this is huge.
And there's a lot of it.
The kind of the emphasis here in the Bible is that it's all over the place. It's huge. It's a big deal. So we're going to read from Psalm 146. It begins, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God as long as I exist. Do not trust in princes or in human beings who cannot deliver. Their life's breath departs. They return to the ground. On that day, their plans die. How blessed is the one whose helper is the God of Jacob," who is also an immigrant, by the way, "whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the one who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who remains forever faithful. He vindicates the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord releases the imprisoned. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up all who are bent over. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects those residing outside their native land. He lifts up the fatherless and the widow, but he opposes the wicked. The Lord rules forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout the generations to come, praise the Lord." Again, in the list of who this awesome God is to be praised, he helps the weakest people. Right? That's the praise there. Our God helps the weakest people, and he is to be praised. I can tell you from ancient cultures of this time, that is bizarre. That is weird. That's what you would give to your God as to why he's to be praised, is to talk about how he helps the foreigner. You know, the person who's living outside their native land, who's living here, you know, the Lord's their protector. Mm-hmm. That's why he should be praised.
Mm.
He lifts up the fatherless and the widow. He cares about them. He cares about the hungry, those in prison, the people who are blind. It's like, the cultures around them, no way. Why?
It's not crazy. Normal for a nation to care about foreigners at all. Unless there's an agenda, a reason to do it. That makes no sense. I mean, and what does that say? Like, you know, if you want to question the writings of this Old Testament or question this God, this isn't a very good God then. Because God would actually, like, if you had your own God...
Yeah. He's the weak people's God. Okay, right.
I mean, doesn't make any sense. No. I mean, what most kingdoms, let's say even our kingdom, the kingdom of the United States, we're very tribal, we're very nationalistic, we've dominated our enemies, we've destroyed them to become this nation. I mean, we've we will take on anybody in this world if they bring any type of evil against us.
Yeah.
Like, there's no fear towards them. But what God's saying is, no, you need to love the foreigner. It's love the people outside of your nation. I mean, if we believe ourselves as a Christian nation, we need to love everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's what we're being asked to do, is to love the foreigner, to love the people outside of this country. I mean, mm-hmm. this was God's nation, the nation of Israel, and he's saying still to love those outside.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's definitely not part of our normal, how we normally see things.
Yeah, definitely
so
not.
So this isn't a condemnation of anybody to say, you're wrong. How dare you not mm-hmm. love the foreigners? None of us do. This isn't typical of our character at all.
No, this is really just anti-human nature. I mean, the stuff that is said in the Bible, period.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really bizarre to how humans act and operate, how they think. And yeah, you would expect the praise to be like, who lifts up princes and kings and mm-hmm. royalty, and who, again, strengthens the warrior for battle and stuff like that. And he says, don't trust in princes. Make sure that you're not trusting in people, because when they die, you know, everything, all their strength goes with them. All that they were goes with them. And, you know, that's what it says about princes and kings. People who are around them would be thought as the ones that the God would be the protector of, like, to be all about.
Yeah, and my point is, like, if God is a man-made idea,
mm-hmm.
no man would create this God.
Makes no sense.
It would make no sense. They would create a God who's based off
especially
power
at this time period.
And control.
No way.
Because why would a God, if you made up a God and you wanted it for control, like, you made up a God because you need to control your people, this is one of the worst ideas you'd ever make up.
He only protects the people who are in charge of the church, you know, of the temple.
And this is just one of the attributes where Yahweh is different than the rest of the pagan gods out there. And you'd see all paganism would fit a different mold than this.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be based off the nation that that pagan god served.
Mm-hmm.
And all about those people.
Yeah. And about the king, how great he is.
Yep.
For sure. Because you need people to respect him and fear him and stuff like that. And so it's definitely going to be about those in power, for sure.
Yep.
You know, it's not going to be about the weakest people. You know, that doesn't make sense.
But. Nope.
But I think we'll kind of end it there, and that'll be part. This is part two.
That was part two.
Okay, so then part three will kind of be diving into some of the interesting rituals and things that would go on to make sure that these three people groups were taken care of.
So some good practical.
Yeah, and then we'll go into contrasting with the kind of cultures around them in ancient times as to what their view of these three people groups were.
It sounds exciting.
Hope so.
All right. If you're still listening, we want to thank you, first of all. And we look forward to recording part three. We'll be working on that. And we will hopefully hear back from us in a few weeks.